All right, this is side two of our interview with Minnie Lowenstein, and just checking for vocal and the volume. We were talking about the big, larger room. You took in
I took in this lady with her little boy. And then this couple, well, they didn't even trust me, 3 rubles. They came in. I took them in. It was more religious. And then she asked me, this cripple what was living with him, he should come in too. So it was one room. He had like a little board. And they had one bed, and I had the other bed. And there was a third bed. It was like a dormitory, this lady with this. And when I started working, and I made money, and I'm sure there is people would be happy to see me. I started working, and I started cooking. Every evening, I made supper. What does it mean, supper? A big pot with soup, with rice and dumplings and whatever. And there was a, I had a big table there. And I had, every day these people came in, and this kept them alive for dinner. In fact, this religious couple, they saw what I do. She asked me once if I have any money saved. She knew I make money. I didn't have a penny saved, but to save somebody's life was for me more than to save money. But then I made enough. I could save too.
So this you took in the woman that wouldn't give you 3 rubles.
That's right, a couple.
Was she indebted to?
They are nice people. Mm-hmm. They're very nice people. In fact, I visited them in Israel, and when I reminded her this, that's it. She was very upset. Why I even mentioned this again, you know, because it hurt me. I always judged everybody according the way I am.
That you would be generous and that you would give whatever you had.
If anybody needed anything, they knew they can come to me. There was plenty needed people. So once I saw that I'm in my shop, and the train station was across. Once I see police going with a fellow, with two fellows, they take him to jail. And I was curious, and it hurt because I don't like to see things like this. And then it passed by an hour, I see one is going back to the station. I call him in the shop, and I ask him what happened, what's going on. I never saw him, he never saw me. And he told me they was guiding them in the train. They had a wagon with sacks of wheat to take, you know, to...
People were stealing.
Yeah, to carry from one, for the citizens, from one to the other, for the government. And naturally, on the road, they probably sold two, some of them, and they catched him. He said, if I don't have 200 rubles, then the other one remains in jail, and I have to go back in jail too.
You do?
Not me.
Oh, this man's saying it about the other man.
Yes. So I took him to my house, to my apartment there, and this lady was there, and she saw. And I told her what's going on, and I took 200 rubles and gave him.
And you didn't know these people, they were strangers?
Never saw him. One day, about a month or 2 months later, somebody calls me to the train. And this man was on the train and gave me back the 200 rubles.
Aww.
With a present, a kilogram of raisins, uzum. So that's the way I did there. There was plenty of times my husband used to say, where is, when he worked in the bakery before, they drafted him also. When I had bread, everybody had, whom I could give a piece of bread, instead of selling a half a dollar, I gave it away. He used to say when we were in troubles, where is your bread? You said if you threw bread on the water, it comes on top. I said, it will come.
What's that saying again? When you...
When you threw bread on the water, it comes on top. It doesn't sink, you know. So anyway, well, when my husband came back from the war, we started to think about coming back to Europe. And as a Polish citizen, see, I told you I'm from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
He is from Poland. So I'm Polish too. We had a hard time for some reasons. I don't know what it worked out, and to come back, we sat on a train for 4 weeks. It's not easy. It was a...
Sat on freight, a train.
A freight train.
A what?
Freight train. It wasn't
freight.
Yeah. And they divided with plywood, or how do you call it? With wood. We made two. Some people sat on the floor and some on top. In fact, we were sitting on top. And once my son fell off, he was 4 years old, and he couldn't speak for a couple hours.
He was
he lost the voice, yeah. And he wasn't unconscious, but he couldn't get back the voice right away. And to eat wasn't much.
He fell off, while it was moving.
When it gave a
jerk,
jerk, it started.
So when you say you were on these trains for 4 months...
Four weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
So you slept on them and...
What else?
You didn't...
Of course.
And you had your meals when you stopped?
Then we got something. When the train used to stop, I used to run down and make a fire and make hot water. Sometimes you could get from the train hot water to have a drink.
Mm-hmm. So these trains weren't really passenger trains. They were just...
For all the people who came back from Asia,
mm-hmm,
to Europe.
And these were Russian
on
trains?
On the way back, yes. So when we arrived to Poland, well, I'm going to skip the whole journey. When we arrived in a little town in Poland, the Poles were standing and sawing this, "You're coming back." They didn't know who is coming. They knew that the Jewish people are coming back. That's the way they were showing us. They'll cut our throats.
The
Poles were showing us they are going to cut our throats.
What was that about? They were involved in
They took away from the Jews everything.
And they didn't want you back.
And they didn't want them back.
They were just as bad as
the
Germans.
They were just as bad. If they wouldn't help the Germans, how would the Germans know everything, whoever is a Jew or not? So anyway,
probably
my husband, they were real to-do people. And they had a bakery. They built a new home. And there was living Poles took it away. But he demobilized from the war. And he went there. He went to the window, you know, to the store. The new owner who took it away, he was drunk. He didn't know my husband is a Jew or not. He was in the Russian army clothes. And he was saying, "No bread for Jews." And my husband's bacon. But anyway, in this little town where we stopped, when we came, I took my son for a walk. And I had a girlfriend who worked next to my shop in Asia. She was a bookkeeper. And her, the name was Sheftel. he was a lawyer and she was the bookkeeper, his sister, and we were the best friends there. And she got married and she was expecting a baby. And when we got in this little town, the train stopped. We took, I think we got out of this train and we slept in a school. To go further, we had to take another train. So taking a walk, there was three poles on a truck. And when they saw us walking, and her with the expecting belly, they came straight on us. And we were running for our life. There was like a garage door, and we ran there, and I pushed my son in, and she tried to take her belly in, because they went with the truck like to erase the belly for her. So they pushed her in so close that they took out a chunk of meat for her thigh.
On the garage door?
For her, you know, this how close they came. The child wasn't affected. They rushed her to the hospital, but there was nobody, no law, that they should look for them and why they do it. And he was giggling and laughing.
You were just taking a walk?
Yes, yeah. Giggling and laughing. So it really scared us very much. So we waited there a day, and then we left.
So they would have killed you?
Yes, yes.
But you were able to escape again?
Yeah, lucky. So
now, how did you escape? You went into a garage? No.
It wasn't a garage. It was like a garage door, but it was the door more in, you know. This, it protected us. So from there, we took the train, and we went further, and we arrived to...
In other words, there was no one to protect the Jews there.
No, no.
Is this your husband's town still near there?
No.
You had left
there.
He
did not go. My husband went once from there to sell the bakery, and I was carrying on. I didn't want him to go because he risked his life. Whoever went to sell the properties, they killed him.
So there was no property to sell because they had taken it already.
Well, it's not theirs. It's after the war.
Mm-hmm.
So and if the owner, whoever survived, they had to give it back.
Did he get it back?
Then he went back to sell it. So let's see where. We arrived, this was Reichenbach, with the train when we did arrive. In fact, there we got an apartment on the third floor. I wouldn't even want it lower because I was scared. Every night you could hear screaming and killings was going on. In for the time being, what we were there was a pogrom. They were Kelser pogrom in Kels, a town. They pulled the Jews down from the train and they killed them.
These are people that survived the whole war.
What survived?
Survived the Nazis, yes. And then got,
yes,
killed by the Poles on,
yes,
the way home.
Yeah, they pulled them off the train and they killed them. So I stopped working there in a shop. One day, my husband came in. I was in the middle, and so help me God, it's the truth. I have half beard. I shaved a man, and when my husband came in and said, we are going to leave, I left in the middle.
and the guy said, wait!
And we ran, and we went, and we... I took what we had. We didn't have much. Coming from Asia, we don't have much. And we went on a truck, and the truck took us to a border to Czechoslovakia.
Was there an urgency to leave at that moment? Is that why your husband was trying to get you to,
yes,
leave at that moment?
Yes, because it was dangerous to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back in the meantime to sell the house, which, against my wish, And he got there. He met somebody, a neighbor from before. He told him, you know, your friend survived too, and he is in Berlin, a different town. So he took the train and went to see him. And when he arrived, he also was a baker, and they had bakery business. When he arrived there, he saw there the watchman,
security?
The security man there. He asked, he is home? He said, didn't you hear? He came to take the bakery and they killed him. So he started running. It was already towards the evening. Running as fast as he could and then went back to the train. He came back to his hometown, but he didn't sleep in his home. His house was there. The furniture was, everything was there. In fact, he had a little building, his bedroom, but he had found there, and the man from the bakery said, you could sleep here. But he knew he would never get up, so he did not sleep there. And he came
back.
Was
somebody living in his house?
Sure.
There were people.
They took the bakery and they took the apartment. They took everything. So he came back, scared, naturally. And this, I didn't want to live there for no money in the world anyway. So we went to this border and waited when it was dark. And for some reason, I remember, it was like a wall.
You're in Czechoslovakia.
Before Czechoslovakia, yet in Poland. And waiting for the chance how to cross the border. And there was like a hole in the wall. In going there, I had to go through. My son was so tired. I pulled him through this wall like a sack of potatoes because he was sleeping. He couldn't keep up anymore.
This is a wall that is the border?
Left to Czechoslovakia. And when we arrived there on the other side, we got also to a school, and we got staying in the school and waiting the chance to cross the border to Austria. On the way, my son was even guiding, having fun. He was counting Ahat, Shtaim, Shalosh, Sharba, Ahat, till he was so tired and the same, I had to carry him,
mm-hmm.
four years old. So, and we crossed the borders to Austria.
So when you cross the border, you're actually you're walking?
Walking.
You're carrying everything that you would have, which was...
We didn't have much.
We had a few things.
We didn't have much. So we got to Austria. In Austria, they let us...
Was that through the mountains or is it just roads?
Roads,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Austria, he was on the fields. They opened like field beds, like for the soldiers. It was snowing and it was cold. And we were sleeping there. The mice was running on us.
Did you have any clothing or blankets or bedding?
There was organizations.
Like
who?
Red Cross or?
Yeah, gave us this. And me to have something to eat. I was shaving the American soldiers there. Took my son along with me. And what did I get for a shave? A bar of chocolate.
Mm.
And then I sold the chocolate and I could buy a piece of bread. And there they supported us from the UNRWA, I guess. They gave us some products.
The American Red Cross, or?
Yes, and we were there, I don't remember how long, till they took us to barracks.
Barracks.
Yes. And there we were.
Oh, barracks.
Barracks,
mm.
Yeah. For, I don't remember how long, quite a few weeks. Then we had another chance to cross the borders. This we did by train to Germany.
You went to Germany?
Yes. in Germany, it wasn't easy, the same. They didn't meet already my talent,
mm-hmm.
because there was normal life.
Mm-hmm.
So I start knitting for the UNRWA, for the American soldiers. We had to make a certain amount a day to knit a sweater. I couldn't even keep up because I never knitted before.
You just picked it up?
Yes. So I used to take it home to finish in the house. In the end, we got once a week a certain amount of payok, they called it, to support the...
They would give you some money?
Not money, food, cans.
Uh-huh.
Cans,
rations.
Of food, yeah. It wasn't much, and this is why I went to work to help out.
So the Americans were occupying Germany. So
yeah, in the meantime, my husband went back to Poland to sell the bakery.
Again.
So the bakery and the house and everything he sold for $1,000.
Oh, so he was able to.
From Germany, he went back.
Was the thing had it changed a little
bit?
Was more order?
The thing is, I didn't let him. It was dangerous. But in the meantime, we found his brother. They were six kids, and my husband, the oldest, and this is the youngest. And he found out that he is alive. He started inquiring, he found him. So he wanted to go to sell the house, and I told him, I don't want anything from you, you can go and sell it. So he's afraid they're taking the... It's a long other story. He is here, and he's a sick mental.
Mm-hmm. From that experience,
yeah. He saw when they took the parents away, and they were begging for a drink of water, and they wouldn't let anybody close, and they never came back. They were, I'll show you the picture.
Well, we'll see that later,
yeah.
So we can finish the taping, but
yeah.
So he found his youngest brother who had been through, was
yeah.
he in the concentration camps too?
Yes.
But he survived,
yes,
somehow?
He somehow survived. Then they found him, the Americans fired. He stepped out and he was hiding from them. He had 70 pounds when they found him. So he survived. But there was they were six kids. My husband the oldest and this one of the youngest.
And those are the only two that survived?
They are the only two survived. So in,
but he's in Pittsburgh.
He is in Pittsburgh, unfortunate, in and out of the mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
Very intelligent man. He worked here as a dental technician.
Mm-hmm.
In time before they took him in the concentration camps, he was making a living. He was a young kid. He was studying this thing, was making food at home and helping the parents already, because they threw him out from their house, took away the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's so much to tell.
I know.
So much to tell. I told you when I ended my son. Yes? So
he got some money for his bakery and the house, and he survived.
He got $1,000.
That was good, wasn't
so,
it?
So three months he had to wait to be able to cross in the night the borders to get back.
Oh, from Poland, to take
from
the money
Poland.
Out.
Yes, the big money. So he was left with 700, and this he divided. With his brother. So.
And he brought his brother back?
Yeah.
Every story, every person has a story there.
Oh. you know, when you start telling, it doesn't come to your mind at the moment, but there's so much, you go through so much. What can I say? In Asia, I wish I would have had a moving camera to see how it was there, how they... I told you then when I went to steal the wheat and to make... I told you this in
about
the
cereal
part,
for the baby.
Yeah. And then when if I bought wheat, I went to a meal. It was a different and a little kolkhoz, they call it, how they make the flour. It's like two rocks there. They turn in this Asian people, they walk on it, the flour comes up from between the two stones and they step on it and then they gather it. How about when they pick up the wheat from the field and they dry it, and then they put a pool and they tie some cows and they start chasing them around and around to step on this wheat, and if they have to urinate, there it goes on the wheat.
Oh no.
But if they have to go the second part, whoever chases them keeps straw underneath. It shouldn't fall on the wheat. And then the rice is the same thing. It grows there, and the malaria there.
Wow.
I had malaria. My husband had it, and my son had it. And the rice, how... wheat, I saw how it grows. Rice, I didn't. It grows in a skin. They have special machines what they take off, but not in Asia where I was. So they have like a piece of wood, a hole in the middle with in top a piece of wood, and they put it there and beat it. And then they put it in a pan and wait for a little wind to blow it and clean it. And what's not clean enough, they put it back. And from this, you know, thinking of it now, I don't think I want to eat it.
if you buy.
How much work this is. They make pilaf very good.
The rice pilaf, is that what you said?
Rice pilaf, the
mm-hmm.
best, the best in the world. Well, there was things you couldn't afford to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But there came a time on the end when I really made good money. And we could afford everything. See, working already. When I start working, then I make good money. Of course, you put around the apron on the Uzbeks and you shave the heads and the lice.
They
run on you down.
They all have lice?
Oh, they all have. They we have this, even winter time, they have like a cape. They wear
kaftan or something?
Kaftan. With a little kibitaker, they
mm-hmm.
call it, like a couple. And then they, in the middle of the street, they'll pick up the arm and they'll...
start picking them off.
Picking and throwing. You know. It's something, I wish I would have had pictures from there, you know.
Because foreign, very foreign.
Yes, very, very backward, very.
But
the
at least they didn't seem to... hate the Jews as much there as they did in Poland.
You would be surprised how they carried this there too.
They hated you too then?
Yeah, they carried everywhere because there was a lot of Russians who ran away there to Ukraine. On the way running there, we was on a Ukraine place. Very nice, some are very nice people, some otherwise. You go through so much and you learn so much and you see so much.
It's hard to trust anybody then when you don't know.
It's unbelievable what a human being can go through and live and still tell a dirty joke and laugh. Yeah, that's the way in your life.
You were telling me a story as we were leaving yesterday, last time we were here,
yeah.
About the joke on the train in Russia,
on the way,
and I couldn't remember it.
On the way going there, you know, you sit 4 weeks on a train. This was already to Central Asia from Ukraine. On this sex with wall and the lice eating you up. So I started telling jokes, and then two of the jokes, what I told, I almost went to jail. I was saying, you know, in Russia, they pull your teeth through your ears. And they, how come, why? I said, because you have to keep your mouth shut. So, and the other one was, there was a fellow was late to go to work. He knew if he'll come late, they'll put him to jail. So he started twisting and turning till he succeeded and broke a window. When he broke a window, a policeman came up, said, who broke the window? One jumps up, I did it. The other one, I did it. There was quite a few late to work, and they wanted rather to go now with the policeman than to go to jail. So one was sitting so quiet without saying a thing, and the policeman said, well, you did it. He said, no, I didn't. Today is my day off. So in the meantime, there came a